Friends, it is such a joy and a blessing to pray with you on this glorious day of the Lord today, this Sunday, and thank you for being present as a parish family. Welcome to any visitors, and it's awesome to visit you myself from up in Pennsylvania today and to pray with you as we receive this profound word of God. It's such a blessing. And we come into a very dramatic scene today in the liturgy of the word. Paul is writing to Timothy from the deepest and the darkest prison cell that they have in Philippi. And he writes, "I am suffering now, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained." Such hope and even joy in the most awful and dire and dark of situations. In Acts chapter 16, we learn that Paul and Silas were thrown into the deepest and the darkest and the innermost prison cell that they had, again, in Philippi, because they helped a young slave girl who was suffering greatly from a demon whom they had cast out. And they were beaten very, very severely because of that at the hands of the Romans, and left for dead then in chains in that horrible innermost prison cell. It seemed like the end of the road, a hopeless situation. And I hope if anyone feels like that, thank you for coming to be here today to find hope and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because even in that horrible situation that seemed impossible to get out of, like of all of Paul's epic journeys, this was the final one, and there was no way of getting out or escaping. But we hear hopeful words in Acts chapter 16. All the way until midnight, they were praying that word of God, which is not chained. And they were singing hymns and lifting up their songs of praise to God, even in those horrible situations, again, beaten almost to death. And as they prayed and sang and took strength from that word of God, the ground shook and their chains broke and the prison doors were thrown open. Praise God. Because again, the word of God is not chained, even when the road ahead feels impossible or we feel like there's nowhere else to go. Paul shows us that faith and trust in Jesus unlocks a flood of graces from heaven, stronger than anything in this world that could possibly bind us. And we also learn in a beautiful way in the Word of God today, in this great liturgy, that gratitude and thanksgiving for the wonders that God has done in our lives helps us to keep that fire of faith alive and burning brightly, and that faith and trust, even in difficult situations, going strong, rooted on a firm foundation to build our lives on Jesus Christ. As we know, Paul had many, many impossible scenarios and situations, imprisonments and shipwrecks and beatings and horrible situations. But it was that spirit of gratitude that helped him to be joyful, even in those horrible situations that we would hope ourselves never to be in. But there is great hope in that faith, trust, and gratitude today that we celebrate at this liturgy. And again, it's such a joy and a privilege for me to be here with you. My name is Father Mark Searles, and I'm from actually up in the Diocese of Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I currently work at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, where it's a blessing to help form young hearts filled with that hope in the seminary. Like our seminarian Ben here, we're glad to welcome him home this weekend. And you might think, why am I in this corner of South Carolina today? But it's actually BYOP Sunday at POP. Bring your own priest today. As I'm dear friends with the Moynihan family, who are her transplants themselves from our Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. They came down here to this amazing corner of South Carolina in this vibrant parish family to help raise their own family. And so they're very dear, close, more like family than friends to me. And so I love to visit them. And so I was blessed and very grateful to Father Smith today for welcoming me to help celebrate this great Sunday and this liturgy in this stunning parish. And it's neat to think about just not only my journey or the Moynihan family that helped me to be here today, or all of us are on a different journey in our vocations and in our lives. And we run into those impossible situations sometimes, like St. Paul in Philippi with Silas in that impossible situation. But the more that we cling to the word of God and that strength that we receive in the most blessed sacrament at the Mass, the Eucharist, and all the sacraments, we have the strength to make whatever journey is before us with that faith and trust in the Lord. And like I said, it led my friends from Pennsylvania down here to South Carolina, where their family is flourishing, thanks be to God. But it was not without hardships and sacrifices and really difficult moments that helped to deepen their knowledge of God and his love and providential care, even sometimes in impossible circumstances. Just a funny story, when I helped the Moynihans to move here, we got to the house and there was no furniture, not even a chair to sit on. But God provided other beautiful families that helped us out in a pinch, and we were happy as clams in this new place. And it's awesome, like I said, to visit down here and see this dear family flourish, as God provides for all that we need. And sometimes we can forget that after we receive some huge blessings or miracles or are set free from chains of any kind. We can also get into a bad habit sometimes of forgetting those wonders that God has done. But living then in a spirit of gratitude helps us to sustain that relationship with God, to remember who we are and whose we are and all that he has done for us in his mighty works to save us and to lift us up and to give us that hope and strength and joy in a spirit of gratitude. Again, all of our stories involve some kind of journey, whether it was just from one corner of this town to the next or from across the country to here or somewhere else. It involves some level of surrender and sacrifice. And even if we haven't in our own journeys gotten to that part of healing and gratitude or even very obvious or visible miracles yet in our lives, that's why we're here together today as the body of Christ, as a family from all different places gathered as one, all different backgrounds, to be strengthened by the word of God, which cannot be chained, and to be nourished with the most blessed sacrament, healed and lifted up on that firm foundation, to continue to lift one another up, to help each other out in that charitable service, in love and in prayer as one family. And again, I love visiting Prince of Peace because it's so evident here that love and service is on fire for the Lord and for your neighbors. So thank you for being that bright light here in South Carolina and for your warm welcome to me. As again, each of our journeys looks very different, and those twists and turns, those sufferings and sacrifices sometimes look like many different things, and we don't always expect where God will lead us or call us. I was in college thinking I might be a doctor one day. I was studying biology and thought I would be a pre-med major. But God asked me to surrender that to him, and he made me a physician of souls instead of bodies with medicine, to bring the sacraments and to preach the word of God, to shake the ground and let souls go free, like St. Paul and Silas in that prison. And again, so it's such an honor now that I get to work with young seminarians in our college division of St. Charles up in Philadelphia, helping to form their hearts to make that surrender in the initial stages of formation, and God willing, with that self-knowledge and self-surrender to be a self-gift, to lay down their lives one day on the cathedral floor and to rise up as holy priests. And I say that because I know there are many young men in this parish who will hear that call, as some already have, to that service of the Lord, to be a father, not to one family, but to many, and to have many, many children in the grace of holy orders. And so that's one of my special prayers for all of you today, that this parish family would be a great family that lifts up many holy vocations, not only to the priesthood, but to the religious life, and many, many happy and holy marriages and families as well. And so it's a great honor to pray with you in that spirit today, asking the Holy Spirit to bless this parish with that abundance of vocations. And again, the readings continue to nourish us today with these amazing stories, not only of the 10 lepers, but first I want to start with this great story from the Book of Kings of Naaman. He was a mighty warrior. Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army, and no doubt an impressive figure. But something horrible happened in his life. Perhaps at the height of his career, he contracted leprosy, which in his time was the end of the road. Something perhaps, maybe in his mind, even worse than being chained in that dark cell like St. Paul and Silas. It was an impossible situation, a total dead end. Nowhere else to go. He would be disowned and set out from his family and his community and set apart in the worst of ways. But he heard that there was this God of Israel that could heal, and a prophet that spoke in his name. And so he went to that northern kingdom of Israel, and he found Elisha, the great prophet, the disciple of Elijah, and he was told to wash in the Jordan, and even though reluctant, he did it. And in that Jordan River, he was cleansed. Thanks be to God. And in a spirit of gratitude, he wanted to give some material gift to Elisha, but he wouldn't accept in his humility, which is another beautiful example for us. Instead, he asked for something very strange. Naaman asked for 2 mule loads of earth. Why would anyone want dirt? As much as I love it here, I don't think I'm going to take some of this clay back up to Pennsylvania with me when I leave, although I love you all very much. Why would anyone want 2 mule loads of earth or dirt as an act of gratitude or thanksgiving for such a profound miracle of healing? He wanted to be able to worship the God of Israel even in his home place when he went back to Syria. And again, in their mindset, the gods dwelt more like people in specific places. So although Naaman wasn't fully there yet with his faith, he knew that this was the true God, the God of Israel, this God who had healed him. And he wanted to honor that God and to worship him alone. So he thought, if I take this little piece of dirt, this little plot of 2 mule loads of earth back with me to Syria, I can stand on that same ground and build my life on that same foundation with the power and strength that comes from on high and sustain this act of gratitude so I don't forget, so that I don't go back to the normal, whatever his life looked like before, as a warrior or as a father or to his family. So he was reminded that he would be able to worship God wherever he was with that dirt. And he built his life on that worship and sustained that relationship and completed that healing in his own faith journey with that petition to take that earth home with him. And it's a great reminder to all of us. When I've experienced some grace or healing or miracle in my life, I'm sure that we've all been very grateful to God, made an act of thanksgiving, like we do at the end of every Mass, the miracle that we're about to behold in this most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. We pause and we make a prayer of gratitude at the end of Mass. And maybe there have been other, some really great graces that have been life-changing, miracles that we witnessed with our own eyes, some type of healing, whether it be spiritual or physical or emotional or any sort. But how often at the same time do we go back to work on Monday or school or life and we forget? I mean, I've done the same thing. It's so frustrating how quickly we forget the good that God is always doing in our lives and the abundance of graces and blessings he pours out upon us every single day of our lives. It's so easy, just in traffic, to forget that in an instant and to become critical again or to fall back into a sin or to just forget ourselves. And again, who we are and whose we are, that we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and saved by his perfect sacrifice on the cross. And every day is the miracle at this altar of the Holy Mass that restores us and heals us and nourishes us and sets us free in the sacraments like Eucharist and reconciliation again and again. God's mercies endures forever, and he never tires of pouring that out upon us. But again, so quickly we forget. So what could those 2 mule loads of earth be for each of us? We don't necessarily need to take rocks or soil or mulch from the flower beds here at Prince of Peace when we go home to remind us. But there are some concrete things we can do to be reminded to live continually in that spirit of gratitude so we don't forget the wonders that God has done for us, whether they be great or small. Sometimes just a crucifix or a medal around our necks. A ring on our finger, especially for married couples, reminding them of that bond of love that is a holy imitation of the Most Blessed Trinity in their lives, that life-giving and creative love that they engage in the Holy Sacrament of marriage. Just a daily appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, setting apart a place or a time in the day to make that visit and have that meeting, to keep building that relationship and that life upon the firm foundation and rock of Jesus Christ in our lives. Some time or a routine often is very, very helpful as a reminder, if not a physical thing like earth, a habitual thing to remind us that we can't go a day without thanking and praising our Lord, because that is who we are and how we were created as human beings. But again, our mind is a difficult thing and fickle thing sometimes. And we can focus on the bad five times at least more powerfully than the good as a survival mechanism that goes back to our ancestors in ancient times. But we need to be intentional about recognizing the good and what God is doing in our lives and live in that spirit of gratitude. And He will set us free and continue to break down those chains, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, or to heal that leprosy or whatever it is that keeps us at a distance from God. It's fascinating in the gospel today, it's very clearly noted that those 10 lepers stood at a distance from Jesus. And sure, it was the common practice of the day, especially with a contagious disease like leprosy, and the fear and hesitancy that it created, that isolation from the community. But even more, the gospel tells us about the spiritual reality, that there was a great need for healing, especially of their souls, and that distance from Jesus is never a good thing. And sadly, 9 never came back to thank him. Their healing was incomplete. It's kind of like, in a silly analogy, leaving after the homily in the middle of Mass. You heard the word of God and it's beautiful and profound and breaks chains, but then you don't stay for the best part, the liturgy of the Eucharist, that nourishment that we receive to keep building on the foundation of gratitude, as the word itself, Eucharist, means thanksgiving, and to be fully healed. So sadly, those 9 lepers, their healing was not complete. But thanks be to God, the one Samaritan, the most outcast of the outcasts, returned to thank God because he was healed so profoundly. And he knew it, and he knew that a great way to live in that healing was through gratitude to Jesus. We pray today that all of us would have that same spirit of thanksgiving. And Paul, again, as we started, is a great example of that. Through shipwrecks and storms and beatings and imprisonments, many times he never gave up. And if we don't give up, Christ always wins. He always makes a way, even when the way seems impossible to us. As he again wrote to Timothy and writes to each one of us this morning, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. And if we persevere, we shall also reign with him. Thanks be to God. Those profound words inflame our hearts, I hope, this morning, to persevere with him in all things, no matter where we are on our journeys. And united as one in the body of Christ, let us persevere together in the faith today. Pray for that grace of perseverance, especially with the joyful spirit of gratitude for the great and wondrous things God has done in our lives and still desires to do, as all of us are in a continual journey of healing too. We're not quite there yet. We're not saints, but we're on our way to heaven. And let us be reminded of that, to live in that perpetual spirit of gratitude, and to let God continue to do amazing blessings and things in and through and with us. So as we worship him today and give him thanks and in the best way possible through this holy sacrifice of the Mass, let us with one heart thank and praise our God and glorify him by our lives.